Okay, today's study in Second Chronicles is our ninth study, and we begin in chapter 11, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Chronicles chapter 11, verse 1. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 fighting men to make war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam. Rehoboam had said that he would rule with an iron fist, and he will try doing that by forcing the north to submit. Verse 2, but this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the Israelites in Judah and Benjamin. Okay, and so this message is to King Rehoboam and to the assembled army that's about to attack the north. Message from God. 4. This is what the Lord says. Do not go up to fight against your brothers. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from marching against Jeroboam. The rebellion in the north, the split between the north and the south, was done by God's permission. And therefore, to try to reconnect the north and south by force would be contrary to God's will. Now, it may have made sense to Rehoboam that they be united, but it wasn't God's will. And sometimes what we assume to be right is not God's will. Verse 5, Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built up towns for defense in Judah: Bethlehem, Etham, Tekoa, Beth, Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marasha, Ziph, Adoram, Lachish, Ezekah, Zorah, Ahijan, and Hebron. These were fortified cities in Judah and Benjamin. He strengthened their defenses and put commanders in them with supplies of food, olive oil, and wine. He put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So Judah and Benjamin were his. The southern kingdom has taken a big hit. I mean, when you lose 10 out of 12 tribes, you know, it's like the United States losing, what would that be? Can't figure it out in my mind right away, maybe 80%, 90% almost of the states succeeding. Well, you don't have a whole lot left. And so all of a sudden, Judah is only a fraction of what they had been. And that's why they immediately built towns for their defense. 13, the priests and Levites from all their cities or all their districts sided with him, sided with Rehoboam. And so the south had the true religion of God, and that will prove to be a huge advantage to them. Verse 14, the Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property and came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them as priests of the Lord. To his own destruction, he did. Jeroboam in the north would not allow the people up there to go south to Jerusalem to worship God properly. Consequently, the priest who lived in the north said, well, we're not going to stay up here. They took off on the king and on the idolatry that he set up, and they moved south to Judah. 15, and he appointed his own priests, this is talking about Jeroboam, for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he had made. So things quickly began to go downhill up north. Basically, Jeroboam invented his own false religion up there to replace the religion of the one true God. 16. Those from every tribe of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And so those in the north who cared about God left their homes, and they left everything else, jobs, I suppose, whatever else they had going for them up there. They left it all to live in the south, away from Jeroboam's idolatry. 17. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, 3 years, walking in the ways of David and Solomon during this time. And so for 3 years, the south was doing pretty well, and that's because they were dedicated to God down there. Verses 18 through 23 list Rehoboam's family. I'm not going to read those verses. Let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. After Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. And good times, as is so often the case, led to the great spiritual decline in the south. And that happens so often. It is so hard sometimes for people to handle success. Verse 2. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. God didn't waste any time in sending punishment to the south. Verse 3. With 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and an innumerable troops of Libyans, Sukites, and Cushites that came with him from the Egypt, he captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Because God was punishing the south, their fortified cities didn't stop the enemy. And now the enemy is at the doorstep of the capital city of Jerusalem. Listen, all the precautions in the world mean absolutely nothing if you don't have the blessings of God. Verse 5. It says, then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said to them, this is what the Lord says, you have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak. In case King Rehoboam didn't know, the reason they were on the verge of being conquered is because they had abandoned the way of God. 6. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. They humbled themselves, admitting that God was right to punish. 7. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. And so, since God knew their repentance was real, he relented on the punishment. Verse 8, they will, however, become subject to him, to the king of Egypt, so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of the other lands. And so God says he's going to let Judah be ruled by an unsaved king to teach them a lesson, to show them how good they had it when God was their leader, to show them that in contrast to the king of Egypt, Shishak, God is a much better ruler and a much nicer one. Verse 9, when Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem, he carried off the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the treasures of the royal palace. He took everything, including the gold shield Solomon had made. Millions of dollars worth of gold were taken out of Jerusalem by the king of Egypt. This never would have happened if Israel, the south, had not abandoned God. They sinned, and they lost God's blessing. And it was replaced with this bad. 10. So King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and assigned these to the commanders of the guard on duty at the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the Lord's temple, the guards went with him, bearing the shields, and afterward they returned them to the guard room. So these bronze shields, which used to be gold shields, were pretty much for ceremonial use. But did you notice that those gold shields, which were made by Solomon, were taken by the king of Egypt? So bronze ones took their place. And that was a fitting picture of the overall decline of the southern kingdom now that they had turned away from God in their hearts. Verse 12. Because Rehoboam humbled himself, the Lord's anger turned from him, and he was not totally destroyed. Indeed, there was some good in Judah. And we see from this that God is merciful, and always ready to be kind to his people, always ready to be kind if his people sincerely repent. Consequently, God allowed the South to continue because at least some down there were doing good things in the eyes of God. 13. King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. The city reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. And it says that Rehoboam established himself. In other words, he got strong. He got strong, strong enough to clear the enemy troops out of his land. And he was allowed to do that at this time because he repented. But notice verse 14, it says he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. At times Rehoboam was good, but the general direction of his reign was bad. He did not have a heart for God. So as usual, when that's the case, he did bad things. 15. As for the events of Rehoboam's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, that deal with genealogies? There was continual warfare between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. There wasn't an all-out war, because God had forbidden that, and the south complied. But there were many skirmishes with the north, and certainly there was a cold war all the days of King Rehoboam in the south. 16. Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, succeeded him as king. Abijah had been Rehoboam's favorite son, and that is who he wanted to succeed him as king, and so he did. And we will look at the reign of Abijah next time in chapter 13. Until then, so long, everyone.